Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Metro's live telephone town hall. My name is Jennifer Vitas, and I am Metro's Chief Customer Experience Officer. I'll be hosting and moderating this event tonight. Thank you for joining us. This is a live public event, and it is being recorded. We want to make it simple and easy for you to ask questions and make comments. All you have to do is press zero on your phone to get into the queue to ask a question or make a comment. While you're doing that, we'll hear a brief opening remarks from Metro's Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee Chair, Director Catherine Barger. Welcome, Director Barger.
Thank you, Jennifer. I always enjoy being a part of this event to hear from LA County residents and our Metro riders. Let me first quickly explain my role as Chair of the Metro Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee. I mentioned this on the last town hall, but it bears repeating for all the new listeners. The Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee provides oversight and fiscal policy direction for Metro. An important part of what we do is evaluating the cost effectiveness of resource allocation and project performance. We do this by managing investments, debt proceeds, and assets. We handle budgetary resource allocations. But we also analyze performance measurements and monitor audit activities. In other words, in order to make sure every dollar we spend serves our customers and the community, we must ensure that we are spending money in places where it creates the greatest value. This is where you come in. We want to understand your priorities and needs regarding the Metro system, and that's why we are all here tonight. At the previous two town hall meetings, you shared critical feedback about Metro regarding safety and security, system cleanliness, and service reliability and frequency. I want you to know these are important to me as well as Metro's senior leadership. They are here and will touch on the feedback they received at the last telephone town hall and share the efforts made to improve transportation in Los Angeles County. While we continue to develop this year's budget, we need to hear from you so that we can build a budget that is responsible, equitable, transparent, and resilient. So please, make your voices heard by participating in the event tonight. I would like to acknowledge the great work that the team has done to support Metro's mission to provide a world-class transportation system. Thanks again for taking the time to be here with us and for having me tonight. And as we say, go Metro. Now, back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Director Barger. The purpose of this call is simple. We want to hear from you on what you want our tax money spent on transportation in LA County. This has been a busy time for Metro. In the past 12 months, we've restored our transit service to the level it was before the pandemic. We've hired almost 1,000 new transit operators to provide more frequent and reliable services. And we've deployed hundreds of new personnel, including Metro ambassadors, custodians, maintenance workers, transit security officers, and homeless outreach workers to make our rail and bus system as clean, as safe, and as welcoming as it can be. While we've done a lot, we know there's still a lot more that Metro needs to do, particularly around safety and security on some parts of our system. Three of the biggest societal issues we're dealing with right now are homelessness, the opioid crisis, and mental health. These crises are not just affecting Metro, but areas all over Los Angeles and indeed all over the country. And while we're doing a lot to address these issues, we need to hear your feedback to know how we're doing so we can prioritize our resources to ensure they have the greatest effect on your transit experience. So please engage with us. Ask a question or provide a recommendation on this telephone town hall tonight. Thank you for being here, and I look forward to hearing your comments and suggestions. So now, let me quickly introduce Ian Cervny, who will cover how to ask questions and make comments. Ian?
Thank you so much and appreciate being here. Thanks to those of you who have already joined our Teletown Hall today. We'll go over how you can participate tonight. If you have a question for our panel of Metro experts, you can press zero to get that question to an operator. Your operator will take some notes on your question and then put you in the queue to ask your question live. If you're not comfortable asking your question live, you can still submit a question by pressing zero, and then you can let your operator know if you want us to read your question over the air instead of bringing you live. Those of you listening in our Spanish simulcast, welcome and thank you for being with us as well. You can also submit questions by pressing zero. We'll gladly read them and answer them for you tonight as well. If you're participating via webcast, you can submit questions using the comment question box at the bottom of your web control panel. Just type your question in there and we can read those and answer some of those as well. You may have questions about updates to system infrastructure, planned safety improvements, cleanliness, line extensions, the Metro budget, or the Ambassador program. If you already have a question in mind, press 0 now to get it to an operator. Otherwise, listen in to updates from Metro leadership and press 0 if you think of a question as we go along. We also want to keep you updated in the future, so if you'd like to get occasional email updates from Metro, press 7 now. Give our operator your best email address so that we can keep you better informed in the future. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ian. I want to remind everyone participating tonight that this is a public forum and it is being recorded. The recording will be made public, including to the news media. To our callers, please go ahead and get in the queue now. We'll be taking your questions and comments in just a few minutes. But first, I want to introduce two Metro senior executives to talk about our bus and rail service and cleanliness on the system. First is Joe Forgerini, Senior Executive Officer of Service Development and Scheduling. Joe?
Thanks, Jennifer. In December 2022, Metro restored our full bus service levels with higher frequency for over 50 of our Metro bus lines. The plan is to continue to deliver these high bus service levels throughout FY24. Through our vision with the Next Gen initiative, the bus network has been reinvented to provide fast, frequent, and reliable service. In FY24, we have plans for rolling out more bus lanes on corridors such as La Brea Avenue, Florence Avenue, and Roscoe and Sepulveda Boulevards in the San Fernando Valley. We continue to recruit Metro bus operators, and on May 6th, we will have another hiring event at LA Valley College. The Bienvenidos a Metro program is continuing with its partnership with LAUSD to help develop a program focused on supporting English as a second language candidates. The new regional connector is a 1.9-mile light rail line opening soon under downtown LA with three new stations at Little Tokyo Arts District, Historic Broadway, and Grand Avenue Arts Bunker Hill, and will allow light rail riders to travel through downtown LA without having to change trains. For example, you will be able to ride from Pasadena to Long Beach or East LA to Santa Monica without needing to change trains. Just to give two examples of the convenience the regional connector will offer. Metro is also planning for the increase of peak and off-peak rail frequencies in FY24 as rail ridership continues to recover. Metro looks forward to restoring 10-minute peak service on our B&D subway lines and increasing to an 8-minute frequency on light rail lines. It is also planned to adopt a 10-minute off-peak frequency weekday and weekends on all rail lines, replacing the current 12 or 15-minute off-peak rail frequencies. This recognises the importance of the off-peak travel market for helping support recovery of ridership on the Metro rail system. We are also currently conducting public outreach on how to reimagine the operation of our C line, green along the I-105 freeway, and our new Crenshaw K line light rail, once these two lines are able to be linked together near Metro's new LAX area rail station. This new station is where the Metro Rail Network will connect with the new LAX Automated People Mover, with a new LAX Transit Center opening around the end of 2024. In summary, Metro Operations has some very big changes coming to the rail network, and this is just the beginning of the Metro Rail Revolution. Now I'll toss it to my colleague Errol Taylor to talk about Metro's cleaning initiative.
Thank you, Joe. My name is Errol Taylor, and I am the Deputy Chief Operations Officer for Infrastructure Maintenance and Engineering. It's my pleasure to provide an update on the current cleanliness activities. We have 13 hotspot stations with dedicated cleaning staff on all three shifts, which are cleaned around the clock. We pressure wash external floors and stairs two or three times a week, use the automatic floor scrubbing machine at underground stations daily, and clean the trackway two times per month at most of the 10 B&D line hotspot stations. All other non-hotspot stations are cleaned twice daily, with pressure washing done once weekly, and the automatic floor scrubbing machine is used 3 times per week at the underground stations. Station cleaning activities include removing trash and debris, sweeping floors, mopping elevators, spraying odor eliminator products, as well as wiping down and disinfecting benches, escalator and stair handrail, elevator buttons, passenger telephones, elevator glass, and ticket vending machines. Trains and buses are cleaned daily at the rail and bus divisions, which includes trash removal, vacuum and blowing out debris, sweeping, mopping, disinfecting touch points, spraying odor elimination products, wiping down seats, removing graffiti and stickers, as well as washing the bus and train exterior. End-of-line cleaning on trains is performed during the AM and PM rush hour service, usually trash removal, sweeping, and cleaning up spills. Midday cleaning on buses is performed at bus terminals, usually trash removal, sweeping, cleaning up spills, removing graffiti, and wiping down interior surfaces. More stainless steel surfaces are being installed on the subway cars, and vinyl seats are being installed in all trains and buses. All older light rail and subway cars have vinyl seats now. We are still in the process of installing vinyl seats in the newer P3010 light rail cars. Overall, we're currently 55% done on the rail cars. The installation of vinyl seats in the buses is about 84% done. Thank you again for taking the time to be here with us this evening. Back to you, Jennifer.
All right, now real quick before we get started again, remember, folks, you can press 0 to submit a question for Q&A.
Thank you for those updates, Errol and Joe. Now let's hear from you, our callers. We'll take our first questions and comments in this live forum tonight. Ian, what's our first question?
All right, thanks, Jennifer. We have our first question coming from Nate, and then we'll have Gregory in Sherman Oaks and Ollie in Inglewood. So hang tight there, Gregory and Ollie. Nate from Sherman Oaks, welcome to our call. What's your question for us?
Thank you. Why can't you improve the frequency of many of the local lines in the San Fernando Valley? They still run at approximately once an hour. This has been that way for well over 20 years. And I don't understand why, after the passages, propositions, or the measures M and R, there is no improvement in the frequency of those lines. You have improved a few lines, like the 240. You've increased the frequency. But the major lines in the valley still run at once an hour. And when one of those lines is canceled, which still happens frequently, you may have a wait as long as 2 hours. In other words, the headways could be as long as 2 hours. But what I've been told is it's not in the budget to improve service on many of these lines. That I don't understand. And also I've been told that if we improve the efficiency and the reliability of some of these lines, that means Metro has to take service away from another line. That doesn't make sense because we are taxpayers. We're paying a tax, transit tax. It's about 2% of whatever we purchase. It makes no sense to me that Metro is not trying to improve the frequency of many of the local lines like the 158, the 155, and 167 in the San Fernando Valley, at least during the peak hours. Thank you so much.
I believe we're going to go to Joe Forgiarini for the answer to this question. Thanks for your question there, Nate.
Great. Thank you, Nate. Again, this is Joe Forgerini, and I'm with Metro Service Development, and we deal directly with the question of service frequencies. We do have a range of service frequencies offered across our network, ranging from very high frequency lines as often as every 5 minutes, down to lines like Nate has described at every 60 minutes. Many of these are based on the level of usage that we see on these routes over many years that they have existed. We also looked at the improvements to some of the frequencies of these lines during our recent NextGen project. However, every year we do have this question of trade-offs that we do have to wrestle with in our overall metro budget and the various programs that are funded through that budget, and also the types of funding available to us and the uses that those funds are allocated for. So only selected types of funding within our overall metro budget are available to directly fund operations. So within that overall framework, we as an agency must wrestle each year, and that's exactly the process that we're in partly tonight to help address those trade-offs. So again, Nate, we have certainly your thoughts in mind on those frequencies, and we will keep them in mind in our overall budget trade-off processes. In fact, there was a question speaking to this very issue within some of our budget exercises that people may have participated in online with our budget tool.
Thanks so much, Joe. And again, thank you to Nate for the question. We're going to go to our next one from Gregory, also in Sherman Oaks. Gregory, welcome. What's your question?
Hello. I have a question that reprises a suggestion that I made in a town hall with Metro about a year ago that was received by interest with Metro. It relates to the experience of waiting for buses on our incredibly noisy and offensive streets and arterials. Sitting or standing on the street where cars just speed by, and many of them equipped with exhaust modifications and equipment to make them vastly noisier, more vibrative, or just very annoyingly droning as they go by, makes waiting for buses and using public transportation an excruciating experience. It's not good for pedestrianizing and not even good for people who live in residences next to the arterials. It seems to me that Metro could be a real lead agency and champion for working with state and local leaders to tamp down on this terrible environmental experience of using a bus. And hey, the trusty 155 just went by my window, but I digress. Work with the city to institute to test and implement noise cameras. They're going to do it in 2025. Why not this year? Work with the state to use the biannual smog inspection program to weed out the exhaust modifications and the vehicles that make noise and vibration. It's a minority affecting the majority of us on the streets, waiting for buses, and even in our homes and al fresco dining. Metro could make a big difference on an issue that's really bad and really getting worse, especially in the San Fernando Valley, and set an example for public transportation and outdoor the experience of our urban outdoors ultimately across the country. Last time I suggested this, Metro said, "You've put this on our radar." So I'm wondering if in fact, such interchange with our local and state leaders has begun at Metro. On this topic.
Great. Thank you, Gregory. And I think I recall you from that forum about a year ago here. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this question to our Chief Operations Officer, Conan Chung. Conan, please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you, Gregory, for your comment and your question. While we can't control personal private automobiles, we are in the process of fully converting our bus fleet to quiet electric vehicles. In fact, our Orange Line, the G Line, is fully electrified, and we are working to electrify the J Line shortly. In addition to that, we will be going out and procuring an additional 1,000 battery electric buses that are very quiet, and several of them will be dispatched onto the North San Fernando Valley BRT, as well as the North Hollywood to Pasadena BRT projects. So be on the lookout for quieter, cleaner buses coming to your neighborhood in the near future. Thank you.
Perfect. Appreciate it. And thank you to Gregory in Sherman Oaks again for participating in our forum once again for the question. We're going to go to our next question right away. This one comes to us from Ollie. Then we'll be taking our first question from our Spanish simulcast audience. So Cecilia in Spanish, hang tight. Ollie in Inglewood, welcome to the call. What's your question for us? Ollie?
My question was, is there going to be an extension of the K-line to facilitate those going to SoFi Stadium? And if there is going to be a line running to the stadium, what route are they going to take?
Got it. All right. Thank you, Ollie. We're going to go back to Joe Fiorgerini, our Senior Executive Officer of Service Development, for this one.
Great. Thanks, Ollie, for the question, and happy to report we do have bus service right now linking downtown Inglewood K-Line station directly to the stadium. It's our number 212 service. All the trips are available from that station down to the stadium. So you can use that as an option right now today. Also, City of Inglewood is studying a rail initiative that would link that same downtown Inglewood station through the City of Inglewood to the stadium. It's a project that's still in planning, but again, the city has the ambition to see that project open. They would dearly like to see that open by the Olympics. So again, keep your ears open for that. That would certainly provide you a rail alternative directly from the station to the stadium. We do also have two other bus lines that serve the station on Manchester, 115 and 117 Century. So hopefully that's some help to you. Thanks, Ollie.
All right. Thank you again. Appreciate you, Joe. Thanks to Ollie for that last question. And as promised, we're heading to our Spanish simulcast for our next one coming from Cecilia. She says the green and the blue metro lines need much more cleaning, and you need to do deep cleanings at least every night. Also, there is no place to wait for the buses in certain areas, so the buses don't stop because there are cars parked along the curb. Also, there isn't a sheltered place to wait when it's raining. Got it. Thank you so much for this question. We're going to go to Errol Taylor for this answer.
Hi, good evening, Cecilia. Thank you for that question. We have identified hotspot stations on the green C line and the blue, which is the A line. At the Willowbrook station, that covers the A and C line. We have the aviation station on the C line. At those two stations, we have custodians there on all three shifts to perform round-the-clock cleaning, and we do the pressure washing every night. On the A line, which is the blue line, we do the same at Pico station. So we understand the situation, and this is some of the progress that we're making to improve the cleaning on the A and C line.
Thank you for your questions. We'll take more questions in a few minutes, but now let's hear from two more Metro senior leaders. First up is Gina Osborne, Metro's Chief Safety Officer. Gina?
Thanks, Jennifer. Although most riders use Metro every day without incident, we know that there are fears and concerns that we need to address. As the LA Times and others have covered, our region is suffering from an opioid addiction crisis. Nevertheless, there should be no open use of illegal drugs on the system, and there should be absolutely no tolerance for assaults on riders and our operators or any other crimes on our system. We're addressing these problems on multiple levels, including an enforcement campaign that started in February to reduce illegal drug use on our system. Law enforcement have since made 205 drug-related arrests. Reported incidents of drug activity via our Transit Watch app declined by 87% compared to week one of the campaign. Our law enforcement partners, PATH outreach workers, and Metro Transit security officers are trained and equipped with Narcan. We're working out a plan to have our transit ambassadors trained as well, but we know we need to do more. The Metro Board recently approved funding an additional 48 transit security officers to patrol the bus system, as well as a number of other proposals to improve safety. We have a lot of work to do, we know that, but we are making progress. I'm happy to take your questions and respond to your comments. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Gina. Again, callers, if you have any questions about what Gina just said, press 0 on your phone and get in the queue to make your comment. And remember, this is a public forum and is being recorded and will be made public. Now I'd like to welcome our next speaker, Elba Higueros, Metro's Deputy Chief of Staff. Elba?
Thank you, Jennifer. The homelessness crisis continues to challenge the Los Angeles region, and Metro's not immune to the effects. We are seeing growing numbers of unhoused people in the communities we serve, and as ridership fell during the pandemic, there was a noticeable increase in people experiencing homelessness seeking shelter on the Metro system. As a result, Metro has received complaints from riders, particularly on the Metro B and D line, the subway that travels through the urban core of downtown LA. While transit vehicles and stations are not designed to be used as a shelter or as an encampment, people with no other options view the system as a refuge from the cold weather during the winter and the heat in the summer. Metro's primary role is that of a transit operator, not a social service provider. But the magnitude of the crisis has required us to take an all-hands-on-deck approach to identify partnerships to bring resources to address homeless individuals sheltering on the system. We've heard from our customers through various channels, surveys, social media comments, calls to our call centers, and community meetings that homelessness is a top priority area to improve their experience aboard Metro. That's why we're investing heavily in fiscal year 2024 to provide resources to unhoused riders, continuing to build on that work that we've done over the last 5 years. We partner with the county to bring homeless outreach multidisciplinary teams onto the transit system. Metro's contracted homeless services providers work 7 days a week as early as 3 a.m. before the trains start operating to connect riders to resources and housing, including connections to the homeless management information system for county services, hygiene kits, meals, clothing, medical treatments, addiction support, and mental health evaluations. Metro also connects riders to sobering centers and crisis beds, including at shelters and motels to address the lack of available motel vouchers and shelters. To find more ways to address the impacts of people seeking shelter on buses and trains, we're adding outreach teams, doubling the number of outreach staff that will be out there daily on the system. We're also more closely coordinating with LASA, the Los Angeles Homeless Service Authority, and the county to bring even more resources to Metro public spaces. We know that change will not happen overnight, and we know that every single person who chooses Metro should have a dignified experience when on their trip. Our agency is working hard to bring resources to riders, including mental health crisis support from the county's mobile response team. We are helping the city and county address the homeless crisis by adding to the supply of affordable and permanent supportive housing through our joint development goal of creating 10,000 new housing units. This is not a problem Metro is equipped to solve on our own, and the ongoing regional collaboration to bring solutions will be the only way that we can swiftly respond. Within the framework of our reimagined public safety vision, we are ensuring that we are compassionate to those experiencing homelessness who are subject to trauma on a daily basis. And we're also deploying strategies that focus on making the transit system a safer place to travel. That concludes my update today. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Elba. Now let's hear from Monica Bolden about Metro's Ambassador Program. Monica?
Thank you, Jennifer. Our Metro ambassadors are the newest members of our team who are here to provide a welcoming and visible presence, connect riders to resources they need, and report maintenance and safety concerns. They are one part of our multi-layer plan to improve public safety, which includes additional elements to improve security, cleanliness, and customer care. Other layers of our public safety plan include transit security officers to enforce the code of conduct, law enforcement to address the penal code, cameras and lighting, cleanliness through enhanced and more frequent cleaning, and homeless outreach and crisis intervention teams. We are currently working with two vendors, Strive Wellbeing, Inc. and RMI International, Inc., to manage and operate a pilot Metro Ambassador program for the next 3 to 5 years. To date, we have hired close to 300 Metro Ambassadors. As they complete their field training, the Metro Ambassadors will be deployed across the system. Currently, we have Metro Ambassadors deployed on the following: on rail, the K line, the L line, gold, red purple lines, A line, blue. On bus, lines 20, line 720, line 40, line 210, and the J line, which is the silver line. Metro Ambassadors provide service to our riders 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. We believe our Metro Ambassadors will, and already are, making a difference. Metro Ambassadors will continue to support our customers and employees as extra eyes and ears on our bus and rail systems. More information about this pilot program can be found on our website, which is metro.net/riding/ambassadors. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Monica. Now let's take a few more questions and comments from our listeners. Ian, who has our first question or comment?
All right. Excellent. Thank you again, folks. And a quick reminder that if you wanted to give us your email address to get email updates from Metro, all you have to do is press 7 on your phone. Speak to one of our operators, give them your best email address for updates, and we'll gladly keep you updated via email occasionally moving forward. So, again, if you want email updates from Metro, press 7. All right. We've got our next question coming to us from Helen in Culver City. Helen, welcome, and what's your question for our forum?
I have several questions, but I normally take the red line, and when I get off at Universal City, the elevators, they don't work, and the escalators don't work. That's one question. You know, it's frustrating to climb those stairs every day like that. And if you go across the bridge, and and also we need porta potters or something for the homeless people to use the restroom, because in the elevators are not clean inside the elevators when I go across the bridge. Can someone answer the question for me?
Sure, yeah. Thank you for your question, Helen. So for the first question you had, we're going to go to Errol, and then we'll go to Gina in a moment here to talk about your concerns about cleanliness and security. Errol, can you take the first part?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that question, Helen. And I understand that you're using the red line. We have a contractor that is available around the clock with a very quick response time to respond to elevator and escalator outages. We also have additional staff at many red line stations who can report outages of the elevators and escalators. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have 10 hotspot stations on the red line where we have custodial staff there around the clock on all three shifts. So we will try to do better there to ensure that the elevators and escalators are working and are cleaned. The custodians try to really make sure that the elevators are kept clean.
All right. Thank you, Errol. And then for the second part of our last question here, there were some concerns about some drug use, and let's see, she was always also worried about homeless encampments. Sorry, we got that next. So, Gina, concerns about
think I lost you.
Helen, can you hear me?
Okay.
All right. Gina, can you be the one that goes to us next? Gina, can you take the rest of this question? I'll read her question from our notes. Helen in Culver City was asking, what can be done in terms of passengers using drugs and smoking on the Red Line?
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for your question, Helen. One of the lines that we're focusing on in our drugs-free campaign that commenced on February 13th is the Red Line. We've added more security with the emphasis on removing individuals who are using drugs on our system. We need your help. If you haven't done so already, Helen, if you could download the Metro Transit Watch app, and you can text us whenever you have any sort of issues where you see drug usage on the system or if you see any other criminal activity. You could also text us as well using the Transit Watch app if you see any of the elevators or the escalators out as well. I think that's a really good tool for people to use who use our system routinely to make sure that Metro knows that there's an issue or a problem and we can address it very quickly. So thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Gina. And hang tight. I bet this next one's going to you as well. Let's get Nicholas up here in Pomona. Nicholas, what's your question for us?
The question is what is Metro going to do about the safety at the stations? Because it seems that mostly at the stations, like in Pomona, and when I go like to El Monte or go on the Pasadena lines, you know, the homeless are spreading out, but also the crime is spreading out with them. And they tend to hang out at the stations, but there might be security guards there, but there's really no safety at the stations for the riders. And that, to me, I see ridership going down because of the poor safety on the lines.
All right. Thank you so much, Nicholas. Appreciate that question. Gina, our Chief Safety Officer, can you take this one from Nicholas in Pomona?
Absolutely. Hi, Nicholas. Thank you for your call and for your concerns. So, again, I don't know if you have, but if you don't already have it, if you could download our Transit Watch app, and these are things that you can report on that. We are aware that we do have an unhoused issue around our stations, near the terminals, and even inside our trains as well. So we recognize that. And we are notified whenever encampments are set up. We address those as we can. So again, if you can just provide us with any information that you can, we will be happy to address it. As you can probably imagine, it is a huge problem that we're not only Metro is dealing with, but the entire city and county of Los Angeles are working on this issue. The mayor is working on it. So again, if you can tell us specifically what safety concerns that you have as far as crime is concerned, and we can look to address that as well.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you to Nicholas. Let's get this next one in here from Dan in North Hollywood for you, Gina. He's asked me to read this one as well. So Dan's asking, the biggest issues with the Metro system are drug use, crime, and mentally ill and unhoused people. I love the idea of the ambassadors, but they don't address those issues, and I ride the Metro 5 days a week and feel more unsafe riding it. The ambassadors tell me they can't always deal with these issues, which is frustrating. How is this being dealt with now, not in a few years, with a hypothetical Metro police force? Gina, that's from Dan in North Hollywood.
Thanks for your question, Dan. So really, the transit ambassadors, they are helping. They are helping considerably because they are the extra eyes and ears that we need in order to send in messages to our security operations center and let us know what's happening out on the system, if there's criminal activity, and what have you. So essentially what we have here at Metro is a layered approach to safety and security. We have a variety of different people, whether it be our transit ambassadors who are there to better the customer experience, but they're also, like I said, there for the eyes and ears. We have our transit security officers who could be at the turnstiles to make sure that people coming into our system are there for the purpose of transportation and pay their fare. We also have our contract security and our law enforcement, so everybody has their own responsibility when it comes to this layered approach. So what we're doing is we are working together. We are taking the complaints that we're getting through these various entities, and we're taking a strategic approach as to how we're deploying our resources to make sure that it's safe for you and our other riders and our employees out there who go onto our system. So it is a very complex issue that we're working on resolving. And I'm sure what you're referring to as far as the Metro Police is what came out of our board last week about us going in and showing the feasibility of potentially having our own police department. So that would be the same thing as how it works with law enforcement now, but it would just be a very cohesive way of this layered approach to address the crime and the safety issues on our system. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Gina. Appreciate that answer. And thanks to for our last question from Dan in North Hollywood. We've got Alan up. This will be our last question we take before we go back to some presentation from our leadership here at Metro Headquarters, Alan in Long Beach. Thank you for joining us. What's your question for our team tonight?
Thank you very much. I do have to say, with all apologies and politeness and respect, this is not a complex issue. It's really very simple. I happen to be looking at Metro's own website, and we have something like 500 replies, 90% of which simply say, enforce the fares. Unfortunately, Metro has made it so that paying passengers who want to travel safely and cleanly are frightened to do so because Metro is making it too easy for people who don't pay to ride the trains, and they make it a very honestly, dangerous experience. One last thing I'd like you to address because it's a credibility issue. Before the then Blue Line began in the early 1990s, we were promised, because I lived near it, that there would be a deputy on every train and at every station. That promise was not kept. So my real question is this. Why should we continue to trust what we are told by Metro, considering, with all respect, Metro seems to be doing a very poor job of accommodating the people it's designed to assist.
Thank you, Alan, for the question. And we'll go back to Gene Osborne, our Chief Safety Officer, for this answer.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for the question. What makes it complex is the fact that we have over 100 stations and about 2,500 buses out there in any given day. So for us to have a deputy or a police officer on at every station or on every bus is a big ask and very difficult for us to accommodate. However, we are, as of February of this year, I know during the pandemic, we did not do fare enforcement and code enforcement. However, starting in February of last year, we started enforcing the fares and we started enforcing the code of conduct. So we are working through that issue now after 2 years of not doing that and transitioning back to the way that it was. We are working on that, and we are making some headway. So I don't know what was promised back in the day when the Blue Line came up, but I can tell you that, again, this layered approach to safety that we're taking, we're being very proactive and strategic, and we are working on making our system more safe. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, thanks again, Alan. Thanks to all of you who are submitting questions and comments tonight. One more reminder before we get back to our presentation is if you'd like to get email updates from Metro, press 7. Let's go to back to Jennifer Vides, our Chief Customer Experience Officer, to continue.
Thank you, Ian, and thank you, everyone, for your questions. A quick reminder, this is a live public forum, and it is being recorded. The recording will be made public, including to the media. Now I'd like to shift gears and talk about the future of Metro. This includes the ongoing construction, planning, and expansion of the Metro system. To begin, I'd like to introduce Tim Lindholm to give us some construction project updates. Tim?
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening. My name is Tim Lindholm, and I am the Deputy Chief Program Management Officer for Metro. So I'd like to start by thanking you for your participation in the program this evening. The Program Management Department leads the delivery of the largest transportation infrastructure program in the nation, with a $26 billion portfolio of 75 active projects. Our current construction program at the moment includes the Regional Connector Project, which Joe Forgerini talked about earlier, which we're planning to open later this year, the Purple Line Extension Sections 1, 2, and 3, which will be completed by the Olympics, and that will connect from the Wilshire Western Station all the way into Westwood. The Airport Metro Connector Station, which will open up in 2024, and yes, we will finally have transit service to the LAX airport. And then also the East San Fernando Valley Light Rail Project just started early construction last year. We're also involved in numerous other highway improvement, transit, and active transportation projects. In addition, the Program Management Department partners with our Planning Department as we work to move our future Measure M projects from planning and into the construction process. Again, thank you for being here with us tonight, and back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Tim. Now I'd like to welcome our next speaker, Ray Sosa. He is the Deputy Chief Planning Officer. Good evening, Ray.
Good evening, Jennifer. Hi, everyone. We continue to take a multimodal approach to solving mobility issues within Los Angeles, developing projects and programs, securing funding, and planning for a more sustainable and equity-focused region. We continue to move forward our transit projects. For the Sea Line extension, we released the draft environmental impact report and completed public hearings. The public comment period ended yesterday. This follows two other transit projects, the West Santa Ana Branch and Eastside Transit Corridor Phase 2, both of which we are now focused on studying one alignment with specific station locations and have a locally preferred alternative selected. Further engineering and the final environmental documents on these projects are moving ahead. We just completed community meetings on the Sepulveda Transit Corridor with a focus on getting input on the station sites. While doing all that, we also continue to support Metrolink, our regional rail partners, in developing improvements on the Antelope Valley Line and continue to work on safety enhancements and complete streets solutions with Caltrans and local cities as part of our efforts to more holistically approach improving our highway and roadway systems. These are a few of the many efforts we are undertaking to expand mobility options for LA County. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ray. To our callers, if you have questions or comments, press zero on your phone to join the queue. Let's take some more questions. Ian, who has our first question?
Sure thing. All right, we've got our next one coming from our webcast, and thanks to those of you who are participating in our webcast today. Tim, this one's coming to you from Ezra in Redondo Beach. The question is, with transit construction costs in North America so much higher than other parts of the world, I'd like to know if Metro is doing anything to address this, particularly concerning consultant costs. And again, Ezra, we're going to go to Tim Lindholm, our Deputy Chief Program Management Officer here.
Well, thank you, Ezra. That is an excellent question, and this is the kind of thing that keeps me up at night thinking about. So you did mention that it's happening across North America. In fact, it's even worse in Los Angeles, where we've created a bit of a microbubble. We've got so much infrastructure being built right now in the Los Angeles area between what we're doing, between what LAWA and Caltrans are doing, that the costs indeed are going up. But we have a variety of strategic initiatives and mitigation measures that we're putting into place to try to influence this trajectory downwards. You mentioned the cost of consulting. That's something we're faced with very much. So we're looking to reduce our staff consultant ratio, hire more in-house staff. That'll help bring our consultant costs down. We're looking into, or actually we're using new delivery methods, things like progressive design build, CMGC, alternative delivery methods that will help us bring the cost and the schedule of the projects down. We're looking at new best practices, instituting new third-party agreements, working to address scope and cost issues earlier in the planning process, and, you know, just in general trying to bring our professional services down. So thank you for the excellent question. We'll keep at it, and I'll pass it back to Ian and Jennifer.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that answer. We are going to go right to our next question from Marissa. And Marissa, welcome to the call. What's your question for our forum?
Hi. I take the Red Line almost every day for school. I've been hearing the music playing at the MacArthur stop when the doors open for that, like, 15 seconds. And that music is incredibly loud and blaring. And having to wait at a station with that music playing loudly would be, like, unbearable. So my question is, are you planning on expanding the use of that music on other stops on the Red Line, even though I think it would push a lot of people, myself included, to use a car instead of the Metro? And then if you are planning on expanding that, are there going to be accommodations for disabled people who are unable to listen to that music loudly while waiting for a metro train?
All right. Thank you, Marissa. Appreciate the question. We're going to take this one to Conan Chung, who's our Chief Operations Officer.
Thank you for the question, Marissa. We are piloting a lot of strategies over at Westlake MacArthur Park to deter negative behavior and loitering at the station. Not only are we playing the classical music, we have closed off the secondary entrance and hiding areas within the station. We've improved lighting, we're cleaning the stations more often, and we're deploying ambassadors as well as security and law enforcement to try to prevent people who are coming into the station and not necessarily using it for transit. We are piloting this at this one key location, and early indications seem to be positive in terms of the program of changes that we're making. We've seen a 20% reduction in crime, 50% reduction in vandalism, and 75% reduction in calls for emergency services, and a significant reduction in loitering. So, again, we are piloting this, these strategies. We'll be reaching out to our customers as well as stakeholders and employees to see how well they think these strategies are working, and from then we will evaluate to see what we want to deploy out on the rest of the system.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Conan, and thanks for that question from Marissa. Just a few minutes left, so this is our last call for email updates. If you'd like to get email updates from Metro and you want to sign up on this call, press 7 here. This will be your last opportunity during our forum tonight. We're going to go to our webcast audience again for this question from Jaime, who asks, I live close to the bike path alongside the E-line, and we see homeless encampments on a daily basis along the bike path. When these individuals leave, a lot of trash is left behind. We report these encampments to the city, but they never get there fast enough. What do you suggest? Now, we're going to go to our Deputy Chief of Staff, Elba Higueros, for this question.
Okay, thank you for the question. So Metro's homeless outreach teams provide outreach at encampment sites countywide. Encampments that are not on Metro stations are the responsibility of the city and county, and we work closely with local jurisdictions to address them. Understanding that resources are very limited and encampments may take multiple reports and additional time to address, you can report an encampment via www.lahop.org or through our Metro Customer Relations Department via the online form. We're aware of the E-line encampment issues, and we continue to follow up. Thank you.
All right. We've got time for, I think, one more question here. Let's get this one in. All right. We've got Edwin, who's coming from our webcast right now. Edwin's question is... he's from Rosemead, asking, why is Metro continuing to devote hundreds of millions of dollars to freeway expansion in spite of consistent findings across a large number of studies showing that these projects do not contribute to reduction in traffic? Are you just doing what you need to do politically? Who'd like to take this question on for Edwin?
Hi, I'll take on this question. This is Ray Sosa. I just wanted to let you know that we are taking a different approach to highway planning and development. Over the last year or two, our board has given us a different direction to look at highway projects in a more holistic way. Instead of adding capacity and doing the normal widening of freeways, we're looking at working with cities and localities on safety improvements, on transit improvements that work with the existing highway system, and reducing the projects that create the additional capacity. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate all of these questions. I'm going to hand it back to Jennifer to continue our program.
Thank you all for all of your comments. Now we have one more speaker. Tim Mengel works in Metro's Office of Management and Budget. Tim?
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you to all of you who hung on for the full hour. The pandemic created many financial uncertainties in the transit industry. The federal government responded with desperately needed stimulus funding. But as this funding is exhausted, Metro, like many other transit agencies in California and throughout the country, faces a fiscal cliff with the loss of one-time federal revenues, reduced fare revenues, and increased costs as a consequence of the pandemic. While we're confident we can create a balanced budget in FY24, Metro is projecting a $400 million deficit in FY2025 that will continue to grow in future years. The agency developed and implemented many cost-saving measures during the pandemic to responsibly balance the budget while keeping our buses and trains operating and progressing on our Measure R and Measure M projects. Moving forward, we are continuing to identify ways to eliminate deficits. This past year, Metro has established special task forces focusing on Metro Transit and the capital program to undergo deep dives on expenses and search for optimal cost mitigation strategies. We have introduced an early intervention team to advance actions on several capital cost mitigation steps. Taking these early steps will help ensure Metro is financially sustainable. And we're already working with the California Transit Association to help the state legislature understand the size and scope of the transit funding problem, with the goal of implementing structural reforms and developing long-term permanent funding solutions. Now, as we work on the FY24 budget, these challenges are at the top of our minds, but we will continue to provide the essential transit services to our riders. To learn about the budget and see the schedule of public budget events, visit the budget portal at budget.metro.net. And to make your voice heard, you can go to mybudget.metro.net budget tool. Also, as a reminder, please join us at the FY24 budget public hearing on May 17th at 1:30 p.m., which will be followed by the Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee meeting. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Tim. And with that, we are at the end of our live telephone town hall. I think we've had a constructive dialogue this evening. Thank you to all our callers and to Metro staff who responded to questions and comments. And thanks to our entire team in the Office of Management and Budget at Metro. The work they do is incredibly important. Once again, to everyone who joined us tonight, thank you for spending an hour with us to talk about some important topics. I apologize that we didn't get to every question or comment tonight. You can still leave us a message at the end of the call just by staying on the line as we wrap up. If you need someone from Metro to reach back out to you, be sure to leave your name, phone number, and what you need help with. Comments we'll receive will help us as we work to improve how we serve the community. On behalf of Metro, thank you again for taking part in this event. Good night.
Stay on the line to leave those messages, and as Jennifer just mentioned, if you need a call back, be sure to leave your name and your phone number along with your question or concern. Thanks again, and good night.